We'll continue with the reading of Thus Spake Ramana. We're up to number 31 of these pith teachings. Sri Ramana says, the self, who is consciousness alone, is alone real. Only the self that is consciousness, pure consciousness, is real. And nothing else. So everything that is not the self, that is not the pure consciousness, prior to thought, prior to image, prior to externalization of the illusion of a world, all of that that is not the self is not real. And that includes the I thought that arises in consciousness and creates the unreal. So, all so-called knowledge, which is manifold, in other words, knowledge of the many, the universe, the world created by language, by the labeling and the objectification that creates phenomena, all of that, all so-called knowledge, is only ignorance. So the knowledge that is now worshipped under the name of the new God, science, because that is the knowledge of the phenomenal plane, or at least it calls itself knowledge, even at the level of its own theorization, it is ignorance, because theories are never equal to truth. But all of that attempt to know the world is ignorance, because you are not aware of what is the cause of the appearance of the world. And you are not aware in that state in which you are caught in an unreal sense of who you are, whatever appears to that unreal sense is equally or more unreal. So, all that is now called knowledge in the world, that people get PhDs and MDs and JDs and all the other kinds of degrees, MBAs, etc., all of that teaches only ignorance and takes you further and further from what is real, which is no longer taught. No longer taught even by religions, which have lost touch with the real and offer only more theological ignorance. And therefore, if we want to get back to the real, we must turn to the self alone. This ignorance, says Ramana, is unreal since it has no existence of its own apart from the consciousness which is the self, just as jewelry made of gold has no existence apart from the real gold. The jewelry is temporary. It can be melted down and turned into something else. Only the gold is real. So the consciousness that is able to create the unreal is real, but that which is created by the artifact of language, which is artificial, is unreal. So the closest one can come to the real in language is to recognize the unreality of all concepts, including this, because all that this is a pointing to the real. but it points to it in a way that enables you to recognize that you have been going in the wrong direction in the unreal, because all of the efforts of consciousness, once they have become centered in the ego that is knotted to the body via language, now takes you into a dimension that is unreal, and you have lost touch with who you are. So, until you return to the real, whatever you think you know, even if what you think you know is about religion or spirituality or about the Tao, it's complete ignorance. Only when the knowledge that you think you have is not based in an I that thinks, but in the real prior to that false I thought, is liberation from the unreal gained. So, in the next teaching, Ramana says, true siddhi is one's own natural state, in which one is the real self, and which is won by becoming aware of that self, which we already are. Okay, siddhi. The word siddhi means power. If you want true power, then you must recognize that that power is one's natural state. But if you are in the unnatural state of believing you are an ego, a body, a being in a world, you have no siddhis, no real powers, because you are in an unreal state. And what can a ghost within a dream have that could be called power? So, Ramana says, all those other siddhis are like those that are won in a dream. Does anything gained in a dream remain true on waking? Can the sage who has cast off falsehood by becoming fixed in the real be deluded by them? In other words, the real yogi who has attained the true siddhi of liberation from the unreal to the real has no interest in having great magical powers within the phenomenal plane. There's no interest in being attached to anything in the phenomenal plane. And if you begin to feel that you are a someone with great power, then you have fallen into the lowest form of ignorance, which is complete powerlessness. So the very seeking of those kinds of magical powers is the loss of the real magic, which comes only from the true siddhi of the natural state. But what does Ramana mean by natural? The true nature of our being is prior to the illusion of incarnation. It is not the nature of the body. It's not the nature of a child. It's not the nature of an animal. It's not the nature that we call the phenomenal plane with its ecosystems and its kingdoms of minerals, plants, and animals. No, it has nothing to do with that. All of that is unreal. The true nature is formless. The true nature is without language or thought. The true nature is beyond time, beyond space, beyond anything imaginable by the false nature of the ego. And so the real power is not only wordless, but worldless. And because the true nature of our being does not come into the world, it does not come under what is quaintly called natural law. It does not come under the limitations of time and space and matter and energy and physics and psychology and all of that that is part of the ignorance. It remains beyond. And that is why the capacity for the miraculous occurs, because one is lucid in the dream of the world, awakened from it and no longer in it or of it. Even though one's icon as a body is still in it, but there is no longer identification. That is the true city. And therefore, Ramana says, once you have cast off falsehood by becoming fixed in the real, you will not be deluded, because there will be no longer any desire and no longer any fear, which is the cause of all of the seeking of power to overcome the lack of power of the ego. And the lack of power comes from the lack of being. So to one who is firmly established in the blissful natural state, beyond change, and therefore is not aware of difference, who does not think, I am one and he is another, who is there other than the self? And so if anyone says anything about him, what matters it? It is just the same as if it was said by himself. So there is no longer concern with praise or blame, attack or support. There's no longer any change within the real self. There's no longer any seeking of anything with the phenomenal, from the phenomenal plane, or any desire even to be removed from it, because the real self, the true nature, has never been in Maya in the first place. And it's that nature that has no sanskaras that need to be burned or dropped away, that has no false tendencies, that has no traumatic past, therefore is always already free and does not have to struggle and enter into some long healing process in order to try to have a silent mind and inner peace. That inner peace is the very nature of the self. So to return to that blissful natural state, because it is who and what we are, can happen instantaneously. It does not happen in time, because the self is not in time. When you realize that, that is when liberation becomes instantaneous and final. But it requires the letting go of the ignorance, the enjoyment of the ignorance that is the I thought. And that means letting go of one's attachment to the unreal plane and trying to find something meaningful within the plane of illusion. As we get to these final days in which all meaning has become insanity and absurdity and all power has been exhausted and the ignorance becomes so monumental that it cannot be overcome through reason, through the logos, the Tao requires the return to the self, that from the perspective of the illusory, ignorant ego is nothingness. And via the traversal of that nothingness to enter the mystery of the infinite powers, cities of the absolute self that is our real nature. May we all establish ourselves in the blissful natural state now. And the reason to do it now is not only because it can only be done now, but in every moment of the phenomenal process of linear time, the world's energy is becoming more dense, more filled with anxiety, with terror, with loss, with oppression and tyranny. And the more difficult it will be to realize the blissful natural state if one is enmeshed in those paranoid frequencies that will be dominant at this last segment of time that leads back to the singularity of the real. And so before we become entombed within that ignorance that has become completely negative, without goodness, without love, without life, without joy, without power, without any connection to the source that is the real. Before we reach that point, we must use the last remaining potentiality for reconnection to the self, to escape from the downward vortex into the Vinash, the great death of the destruction of the illusory world. This is the moment for liberation and to employ all of your powers in every moment to be free of the ignorance and the delusion created by the I thought, and not to allow any of its thoughts to be entertained, because they will pull you further into the quicksand of Maya. And every time you get pulled into it, it will be harder to bring yourself out. Do not fall. Do not lose touch with the natural state of yourself. And use that power of liberation to emanate light into the darkness, so that those who seek the real can find it through the help that your compassionate, luminous gift of God consciousness can offer to all the souls who now are trapped in suffering. May you know the peace that comes from gaining true presence, which is the true absence of ego, the absence of ignorance, the absence of illusion. And the realization of the unmanifest. May you gain the greater, deeper peace of being fully established as the unmanifest, as the source that never falls into ignorance of its own nature. And may you know the deepest and most fulfilling, blissful peace of realizing that you have always been only that eternal, luminous, blissful intelligence that is the supreme power, the supreme city, the supreme goodness, the supreme love, the supreme beloved, and that you are that eternally.